days ahead. The Gospel of John, chapter number 10. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll John's Gospel and chapter number 10. We'll read a few verses here. Try our best to give you what feels on our heart for the service today. And be honest, it's been a difficult time to try to get direction from the Lord. And all the things, of course, have been going on with the situation there at home and the fire and everything. And they stayed with us until last night and company coming and going. We appreciate all that. And I'm not saying anything negative about that, but it's been hard to find time to get away and be alone. But I'm glad the Lord knows all about that. And I am a firm believer that the Lord uses, I'm not saying everything is good as far as we see it, but the Scripture says all things work together for good. And the Lord can use all things to do His will and His work. And so I'm grateful for that and trust that He will help us this morning as you'd pray for us, that God would touch us. John chapter 10, when you found your place, if you're able and willing, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor under the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in John chapter number 10, and no doubt many of them are familiar to each and every one of us. But trying this week to get along with the Lord what time I could and try to get direction for the service this morning, And on yesterday morning, we had there at the house a lamb born. One of the ewes bore a lamb. And I went up to the pasture yesterday morning and to check on them. Matter of fact, looked out the window, out the kitchen window looked, and I could see it. It stood out from all the rest. All the rest of them are dark tan and black, and it's just about solid white. And so I went up there and walked into the field. Now, I've never seen it before, and it's never seen me. And sheep are very skittish. I don't know as much as some know about them. I've had them for some time now and learned many things about them and many applications from them to the people of God and us as His sheep, the Bible said. And here is what Jesus is saying, that He's the shepherd and we're the sheep. Now, I've learned a lot of things, and one of the things about them is that they're very skittish. They don't like new things. But I stepped into the pasture, and I don't remember what I said, but this little lamb who's not more than a few hours old leaves its mother and comes running and stands beside of me. Now, I've never had that happen before. I have other lambs, and they want to hang right with their mama. They don't want much to do with me. They're learning me and getting acquainted with me. But that didn't happen. I tried to remember, and in all the hustle and bustle of everything that's went on, I tried to remember what I did. I think best I can remember that every time I go in the field, I speak to the sheep. They belong to me. I care for them, and I take care of them and provide for them and feed them. And they've learned me and learned my habits and learned my routine, and they holler when they want something, and I go give it to them. And I walked in the field, I spoke something, and the only thing I can figure is how that little baby was being formed inside the womb of its mother. It heard my voice. And it recognized my voice. And so in knowing the voice, it associated safety with the voice. It associated protection with the voice. It associated provision. Now, it really does, because the mother developed an infection and she can't feed the lamb, and so I'm having to bottle feed it. Got up twice in the night and went and bottle fed it, and it, when it sees me coming through the door, here it comes. It knows that when the shepherd comes that it's going to get what it needs. Now, I didn't say when the shepherd comes that we always get what we want, but you can rest assured that when the shepherd passes by, we'll always get what we need. He always has it. And it's an amazing thing to me. He knows exactly what we need. I didn't know. I had to call and get advice, but the Lord never has had to call and get advice from anybody about how to take care of any one of us. He's never experienced a situation in any of our lives. All of us have come from different areas of life, been through different circumstances and different situations, and yet the Lord has never faced a problem or a situation in our life that He had to call and ask for advice because He didn't know how to take. He knows how to take care of His own, regardless of the problem, the situation where you find yourself this morning. Our Lord, our Shepherd, knows how to take care of His own. He always has, and He always will. And the reason He does, I didn't know that going into this thing, all I knew is that there's a baby up there. I didn't even know it was coming. I mean, I had some clues, but I didn't know. I didn't know the mother was going to get the infection, not be able to feed it. I didn't know that it went almost all day without anything to eat. But you know, the Lord never has had anything catch Him by surprise. He knows all about it. Before the problems ever come, He knows all about it. And He's already making provision. And He's already working things out and setting the stage to take care of us. He's our shepherd. We're His sheep. We belong to Him. He loves us. And He will take care of us. Here in this scripture, He's begun in the last chapter a discussion with the religious leaders of His day, the Pharisees. And just because there's a chapter division doesn't mean that the topic changes. I don't think that it does. He's still addressing these Pharisees, this group of religious men of his day. And he begins to tell them they thought themselves to be the leaders, the shepherds, if you will, of the people of God in their day. What they said went. Everybody looked up to them. Everybody respected them. They made up, many of them, if you read the Word of God, they made up their own commandments that weren't God's. And yet men followed them because they respected them. But Jesus said, "You're thieves and robbers. I'm the shepherd." He said, "All that ever came before me." He said, "There's not but one shepherd." If you read the scripture, that's the way that it's worded. He said, "He that entereth in by the door," in verse 2, "is the shepherd of the sheep." Which leads me to come to the conclusion that there's only one shepherd and there's only one kind of sheep. That's it. Now, if you go to my pasture today, if you were to go home with me, there's all kinds of different looking ones. I got some that's brown with black bellies. I've got some that's, I got one that's spotted like a Holstein cow. I got two lambs that's just about all black and got some white on their feet and on their faces. I had that one born yesterday. She's almost all white, got brown tips on her ears and a brown streak down her back. All of them look different, but they all belong to me. And that is the commonality. It doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter what breed they are. The thing that unites them and makes them all the same sheep is that they belong to me. And so it don't matter where you came from. It don't matter the size you are. Not talking about physically this morning. It doesn't matter about your characteristics. It doesn't matter about this. It doesn't matter about that. Some are more vocal than others. Some show emotion more than others. It doesn't matter about all that. The thing that unites us and makes us the sheep is that we belong to the shepherd. I believe that's right. Matter of fact, he went on to say, and I don't know all the deep theology about it, I think I have a pretty good understanding in chapter 10 down there in verse number 16, he talked about other sheep. Now he's standing there on this day talking to Jewish people. And they are his chosen people. And they are his sheep. But thank God that I'm part of the other sheep. He said, "I've got others that are not of this fold." But he said, "I'm going to unite them and bring them all in. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd. And no matter where we've come from, we're all the same flock of sheep." Ain't that right? Best I can figure. I mean, just common sense. It's amazing to me how much in the natural world changes over has a type or a picture in the spiritual world. Best I can figure out, the only way that I can add to my sheepfold is the same way that the Lord adds to His. And there ain't but two ways. You either have to be born in or you have to be bought in. The Jews were born in. They had the birthright because of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And He said, "These will be my people. I'll establish my covenant with you." But because He came to His own and His own received Him not, I'm glad He sent out a Redeemer to buy us back as the Gentile people that could not be born in as far as birthright. But I'm glad He bought us and put us in the fold. I thought about the shepherd, been on my heart the last couple of days, on and off, just thinking about the shepherd. And I told him last night, I said, "Lord," and I don't know, I'm just going to be honest with you. The last few services, at least on my end, have not been what they have been in days gone by. And I understand that what Brother Tim was talking about this morning is a prime example. It's time to forget all of them and reach forth unto what God has for us today. Last Sunday might not have been as good as God has planned for today. I don't know what God has for today, but I know I feel better in my heart today than I did last Sunday. But I'm not going to worry about last Sunday. I'm just going to worry about today.
and see what God has today. I mean, I believe God has something for us. He's our shepherd. We're His sheep. He made us the way we are, and we ought to worship Him for it. I heard a man preach last week, and it dawned on me. I don't have no deep theological reason behind this, but I know when he said it, something in my heart registered. It went ding, ding, ding. And I realized I've preached a verse or some words in a verse wrong all my life. In Psalm 23 of the Bible, the psalmist David, who there was nobody better qualified to write that psalm than David. He was a shepherd boy. He knew about sheep. And he began to write about his shepherd. And he said, "His shepherd, who is the Lord, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, I've preached all my life, since I've been preaching, that means He makes us lie down. I don't believe that's right. Have you ever been made to rest? When you get sick and go to the hospital and they say you need to rest, do you really rest when they tell you you have to rest? I don't. And if that's what he meant, why didn't he say, "He maketh me lie down"? That would mean more, that would make more sense to me. But he said, David said, in observing the sheep and knowing how they are made, "He maketh me to lie down." We are made, sheep are made, they are created, if you will, to lie down. That is what they do. If you study them, if you observe them, you come to my house someday. If you get up early in the morning, especially in the springtime, when the dew's on the grass, they're up and they're eating. They drink very little water in the spring and summer months. They get their water from the grass. And they get up in the morning and they eat the grass. And they go out in the evening and they eat the grass. But the rest of the day, they lie down. And if you watch a sheep, now I don't have any scientific evidence for this whatsoever, just my observation and going off the Word of God. If you watch a sheep compared to other animals, like horses and cattle, it is very easy for a sheep to lay down. If you ever watched a cow lay down, it takes them a little while. To get their legs and hips to work and to lay themselves down. It takes a horse a while to lay down, but a sheep can lay down with very little effort. You say, why is that? Because He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I don't know what it speaks to you, but I'll tell you what it speaks to me. The Lord don't want us a wring in our hands and a twisting our hands off and a worrying and a wondering. He's the shepherd. He's in the field with us. We ought to just be able to lay down in the green pasture and say, you know, the shepherd's here. And because he's here, everything will be all right. There ain't no sense in worrying about it. My sheep don't worry about whether they're going to get fed. They know I'll be there. And they know if I can't get there, I'll send somebody else there. And it's the same way with the Lord. Except He can always get there. So why worry about it? Just lay down and rest in Him. Jesus, here in this scripture, talks about, makes a comparison between the shepherd and the stranger. And that's what's on my heart this morning. The shepherd and the stranger. There ain't but one shepherd. But there's a whole lot of strangers. But if you belong to the shepherd. Oh, I took good courage in this. It helped my heart, encouraged my heart. That He said, we will not follow a stranger. You can come in my pasture. My sheep might come to you, toward you. But if you try to leave them, they will not follow you. You know why? Because they don't know you. You don't have a relationship with them like I do. But I can go in the pasture. I can even go in with somebody else. And they will follow us together just because I'm there. Ain't that amazing? You know why? It's because they've learned that I care for them. Now Jesus is going to compare Himself as the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Many things in the Word of God call it the chief shepherd, the bishop of our souls, the overseer, the watcher of us, the caretaker of the flock. He is the shepherd, and He's going to make a comparison between Himself and the stranger. And I'll have to say, by the time He gets done, there is no comparison between Him and the stranger. The first thing He makes a comparison in is their credentials. He said, I have access to the sheepfold and the stranger does not. That's what He said. He said, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. Anybody else that tries to get in, they have to climb up some other way. They don't have access. They're a thief and they're a robber. They don't have access. And what's even better than that? It's not just that He has access, but He goes on in a few verses later and He says He is the access. He said, I'm not just the shepherd, I'm the door. And so because He has access and because He is the shepherd, then that means He's acquainted with this gentleman in the Word of God that's called the porter. It, when that shepherd comes, that is, if you study about the sheepfold in the Old Testament times, in Bible times, it was a corral out there that they put together somehow, that they would put all the sheep in at night, and they would stay there many times. The shepherd would have to go away, either to check on another flock or to take care of some business, and as he went away, he left them in the care of a porter. And the porter's job was to guard the door. But when the shepherd came and his voice was known, the Bible said to him, the porter openeth. I believe that's a good type of the Holy Ghost. That while our Lord's went away to prepare a place, and not that He's not with us, He is. He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us, but He's entrusted us into the hands of the porter. But I'm glad when His voice sounds, the porter knows exactly who He is. The porter don't know these strangers. The porter's never been acquainted with all these thieves and robbers. And that ought to do joy in your heart to know that if he don't know who they are, he'll not open the door and let them in. But he will open it for the shepherd. And so Jesus looks at this Pharisee crowd and He said, man says you have all these credentials, you got all these letters, you got all these works, you got these garments that you wear. But He said, when it comes to the sheep, He said, I'm qualified and you're not. And then He talks about not just the credentials, and I'm just trying to give you what's on my heart this morning. He said, the shepherd has a call. It's unlike anybody else's call. And it's a personal call. Jesus said the shepherd calleth his own sheep by name. He wasn't talking about physically in that day. And many people have said that the Middle Eastern shepherds knew all their sheep by name. I don't think it's possible because if you study, they had thousands and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands of sheep. And many days I do good to remember the names of the eight or ten that I've got. But I'm glad our shepherd has no trouble knowing my name. And when he comes by, he doesn't just do a general call, but he does a personal call and speaks to you one-on-one between the shepherd and the sheep. The stranger can't do that. The stranger don't know you. The stranger's not got that relationship. Oh, he can call, he can talk all he wants to, but there just is not a call like the shepherd's call. Got over there after his resurrection, them women had come And they was trying to figure out what in the world happened. The disciples come and they went back to tell everybody, but the Bible said Mary had stayed behind. And Jesus come in the garden. She, supposing Him to have been the gardener, began to question, said, what have you done with Him? If you've carried Him away, tell me, I'll go get Him. And the Bible said, He said, Mary. Didn't say, Mary, it's me. Didn't say, Mary, can't you recognize me? I didn't say, what's your problem? Here I am. All he had to say was her name. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying nobody will ever call your name like he will. And it's because he's the shepherd. And there's nobody else like him. That call's not just a personal call, but when he speaks, it's powerful when he speaks to us. He said in John chapter 5, he said, he was talking to that crowd, that religious crowd, he said, there's coming a day that all shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and he that heareth shall live. He wasn't talking about all them in the graveyard, but he's talking about you and I for the ages to come. That Paul said, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But when that call from God comes, when he speaks your name, if you've ever heard his voice, it's powerful enough to make you live again. It was for Lazarus. He walked by the tomb that day, said, roll it away. They tried to argue. Said, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. He said, just roll it away. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And it just took his voice, that powerful call. And the Bible said, he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot in grave clothes. And the very next chapter, he's sitting at the table with them. You say, why is that? Because you heard the call of the shepherd. And there's so many things we could talk about. We could talk about his care for us. So many things that Jesus talked about. He talked about how he directs our path. He said he leads them. He calls them out of the sheepfold, out of that pen, out of that enclosure, and then he put them forth. That means he sends them on their way. But he doesn't just send them out, but the Bible said he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If we could ever get a hold, and I'm saying we, if we could ever get a hold of the fact that if we are where we're supposed to be with Him, and we're in the fold, and He's the shepherd, and He's leading us, then that means that we're following Him. We'll never go through anything that He hadn't already been there. They go before them shepherds in that day. They knew where all the grazing lands, the table, when it says He prepares a table before me, I understand there's an application to us as in a table with four legs, but a table in that day concerning the sheepfold would have been a lofty place, a flat, elevated pasture, and the shepherd would go before and clear out a way, clear out a road, cut down the briars, beat down all the stuff, get rid of all the enemies, know where all the wolves were, and prepare a table for his sheep to eat. He goes before us. And so there's care in the fact that He directs us. There's care in the fact that He knows about our diet. He knows what we're supposed to be eating. And sometimes we eat things that we ought not to eat. But He never has gave us anything that we ought not to eat. Now, I had to call yesterday. I had a bag of some stuff that they're supposed to, some replacement of some stuff they're supposed to get right when they're born. And so I started feeding that little lamb that, and she didn't like it too much, but I made her eat it because I knew it's what she had to have. Now I believe there are some days, and I understand people say God won't make you do anything. I understand what they're saying and all that, but there are some times that He knows if I don't have what He's got, then I'm going to wither away and die. And sometimes He'll stick the bottle in the mouth, and if you put it in the lamb's mouth and peel its head back, you're not really making them drink or make them eat, but you're letting them know you're just setting all the stage so that they will take what you know they must have. I couldn't make it swallow. I mean, it could let it run out the sides of its mouth. One person said, I was trying to read up and try to get acquainted with it while I was trying to do it. I never had done it before. It said, if they don't swallow, you really got to listen. But when you're bottom feeding the lamb, you got to listen. And if they're not swallowing, you got to stop. Because the way their throat is made, at a young age, all that liquid will run into their lungs. And they'll set up pneumonia. And so the Lord knows how to feed us and what to feed us. And He never has harmed us. And so if there's a time in your life that maybe you don't exactly want what He's got, but He sticks a bottle in your mouth anyway and tilts your head back and rubs your throat, you just might as well go ahead and swallow and get what He's got for you. It will help you down the road. I believe that's right. Some people might fall out with me for preaching like that or saying that, but I believe it's right. It might not be right that He makes us swallow. That may be still up to us. I really don't know all about this thing. I know God's God. He can do what He wants to, how He wants to. I ain't got Him figured out, neither of you. But I know we always seem to get exactly what we need. Ain't that a miracle? And so He knows about our diet. But ain't it amazing? I know I said it already, but I feel like I need to say it again. I called the vet. I said, what do I do? I told him the situation. I said, now I love these sheep. I said, but I looked online and a bag of milk replacers about $69. And I was just being honest. I mean, if you want to be honest, I was being honest. I said, I don't know if I really want to spend all that, not knowing whether she's going to make it or not. He said, you don't have to go through, you don't have to have all the fancy, this is what he said. You don't have to have all that fancy stuff they tell you you have to have. Just listen to me, I know what they need. I don't know if that registers in your heart or not. But there's a whole lot of fancy stuff that's a costing a whole lot of the people of God. There's some things we ought not to be paying. And the Lord's trying to tell us you don't need all them fancy things the world says you need. Just listen to me. I know what you need. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you go to the grocery store, go in the milk aisle, find you some goat milk and buy that, warm it up, put it in a bottle and feed it to her. It'll do better. He didn't say as good. He said it will do better than the powder they sell in the store. Ain't that amazing? And I'm going to tell you why. He said because that powder's good and they want to push it and it will give it the nutrients it needs, but it comes with side effects. And one of them side effects, and I'm not going to go into any detail, you can figure it out, is that it's once it goes in, it's going to lose the nutrients as fast as it goes in. But he said this goat's milk won't do it because it comes straight from the source. Ain't that something? Would to God, and I'm saying we, would to God that we would just get hooked up straight from the source and quit worrying about all the stuff and the frills and the thrills and the big names that everybody says we gotta have that may look good and do good for a while, but they're having side effects on our churches. Just get it straight from the source. And ain't it amazing that to get it straight from the source instead of going the long way around and trying to bypass, that's what many people are doing, they're bypassing the source, and it costs a whole lot more to do that than just to get it straight from the source. We walked in, we had to go last night and get Ben and Marlene some stuff from the store that they didn't have. They didn't have anything. And so I said, we need to run to Walmart real quick. And I walked in, walked down the aisle. I really, at that point, I knew it wasn't going to cost me $70. But I was ready to pay. I'd done Ben with her. Had spent some time with her. Heard her cry. I said, I'll just pay whatever it is. And lo and behold to me, opened up the door, had the refrigerator aisle, and for a half a gallon, it was $4. Just to get it straight from the source. Heated it up, and it's amazing to me. What I had before was powder stuff. You know that stuff I was talking about. Somebody had give it to me is the only reason I had it. And she really didn't like that, but I put that bottle in her mouth about 2 o'clock this morning with that goat's milk in it. Boy, she really liked that. I'm going to tell you, people try to tell us and convince us. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about religious people and so-called church people try to convince us that all the big-name stuff the world has is so much better. And that stuff straight from the source, we won't like it. It'll leave a bad taste in our mouth. I've heard many people say, I went away from church with a bad taste in my mouth. If you did that, you didn't get it straight from the source. I believe that's right. And so He knows about what we need to eat. He knows how often we need to eat. He don't have to call anybody and get advice. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And He don't delay either. Time rolled around this morning. I'm just saying how I am. I'm not a morning person. And my flesh kicked in. I don't know if yours ever does. But time rolled around about 1:30. And I rolled around the bed for about 15 minutes trying to make myself get up out of the bed and go fix a bottle and take it to that little lamb out there in that pen in the cold. But I sure am glad the Lord don't roll around in heaven trying to make Himself help us or trying to bring Himself to have the nerve. But like that old black preacher said, He's able to get to us wherever we are faster than right now. And it's because there's no hesitation. There's no delay in Him. He knows you need it and He's coming to help you. I believe that's right. Matter of fact, He cares so much for us. He said in this scripture, He's willing to, and He did. The good shepherd should be willing to die for their sheep. Jesus proved His love for us at Calvary. He died for us. And then there's comfort in the shepherd. Comfort in His presence, just knowing He's there, does the sheep good. My sheep can be bent all out of shape, and I can walk in the pasture, and they just all congregate around me, some closer than others. Ain't that amazing? Just how we are. I got some that I can walk in the pasture with the feed bucket and they act like dogs. They jump up on you, just about pull your arm off, trying to get the, and then they some that they know that you've got good stuff and they do love you, but they just ain't quite comfortable being as close as all them others are. I believe that's right. But just His presence among us, don't it bring comfort to you to know that He's with you? And not just His presence, but knowing that He's around, there's a sense of protection that He will keep us safe. Doesn't mean that bad things won't happen. Doesn't mean that hard times won't come. But it means that He is ahead of us. And nothing can get to us unless it first comes through Him. What a blessing. But then the Lord turns His attention to this stranger, and that's where I want to close this morning. I'm done. All of these wonderful things we've said about the shepherd. We've talked about His care. We've talked about His credentials. We've talked about all the things, His call, His comfort. But there's only one thing that Jesus says about this stranger. And He says, it comes with caution. You better be aware that there's a stranger out there. And He says, here's what you better be aware of, and I'm done this morning. He said, you better be aware of His ways. He said, He climbeth up some other way. The stranger will always try to bypass the door. And we got a whole lot of so-called preachers in pulpits and so-called churches, and I'm not trying to measure ourselves against it. I'm just saying there's a whole lot of strangers out there. And they're doing everything they can to get around the door. But Jesus said the only way in the fold is through the door. And those strangers, people can say what they want to. I understand that the Bible does say in the last days they would be deceived, meaning that they would not fully understand what they're doing, and then they would deceive others. But I believe there's a host of them out there today that fully understand what they're doing. Because Jesus said that any man that will come in some other way is either a thief or a robber. And the thief tries to come in by deception, without notice, and slip away that you want. And the robber comes by force, and he'll shed blood if he has to get what he wants. And I believe we got two classes in our day. We got some that are deceived and that are deceiving others coming in, and they're stealing away, coming in unawares, the Bible said. But then I believe there are some others that are going to do it by force, and it doesn't matter how much blood they shed. It doesn't matter how many throats they have to cut. It doesn't matter how many they have to run off. They're going to get what they want. And Jesus cautions about that too. It ain't just their ways, but it's their wants. He said, all they want is their own selfish desires. It's all they want. He calls them a hireling. And the word hireling just simply means what it says. It is a hired servant that is in it for the money or what they can get out of it. And many people say, well, I don't understand why so-and-so abandoned me. I don't understand why these people always fade out. I was reading my Bible last night and the Lord revealed something to me, not in supernatural revelation, but I mean just something hit me so hard. I thought, why have I never seen that before? You ever have them occasions? Now I want to tell you what He told me. Now I don't even have to tell you anything out of the Word of God. I'm just going to read the verse and it'll dawn on you too. He said in verse 13, the hireling fleeth. People say, why do these people do this? Jesus gave the reason. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. That was the Lord's reason. He flees because that's what hirelings do. And he went on to say, and not just because of who he is, but he does not care for the sheep. So we better be careful about those that they only want what they can get out of it. All they care about is their name, their reputation, their self-image, and they don't care who they have to plow down to get it. That's a hireling. And then he says, we better be careful, and I'm done, about the words of a stranger. All the words he uses are strange words. It's like what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 14. He said, there are uncertain sounds in the world today. And there are. I'm going to tell you something that's a blessing. If you belong to him in verse number 8, it says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now that does not mean, that word here there does not mean that the sounds didn't go in their ears and they didn't hear as we physically do. But the word hear here is translated to the word that we use for understand. It didn't click. They didn't comprehend it. They did not pay attention to it because it was not the voice of the shepherd. You can walk out in my field. My sheep are bad this time of year. My wife will tell you it's because they don't have much grass. Well, just about no grass because they've eaten it all when the winter's come. And they holler a lot more when they don't have any grass. And I can walk out and walk up to the fence and holler at them and they'll stop. But somebody else can do it. And they just go on like they'll focus on them. They will look at them. The sound is entering their ears and registering. But they don't pay it any attention. They don't know that voice. And I'm going to tell you, they've been some dark. I'm not saying that I'm perfect and I ain't went astray. I've went astray plenty of times and so have you. But they've been some days in my life when some voice or some person tried to tell me something contrary and it just didn't click with me. It didn't mean I didn't hear it and it didn't mean that it might not have played in my mind, but way in the wee hours of the night, something in my heart said, that's not His voice. I thank God this morning that we have a shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but we have the shepherd. And He cares about us and we belong to Him. It does my heart good to know that even in the bad times, He's just as much my shepherd as He is in the good times. And so the wolves may come, but I have protection. And the bears may come, but I have protection. It don't mean there won't be fear that rises up in me. It doesn't mean there won't be worry that rises up in me. But way down deep in the inside, something tells me it's okay.
The shepherd's still here. Night before last, I don't know about where any of y'all live, but where we live, the coyotes are thick. And night before last, they were roaring. I mean just roaring through the mountains. And I couldn't sleep. And so I got up and walked outside. And all the sheep were standing. And they weren't in their pen and they weren't all huddled together over in the corner laying down like they was resting. They was all outside and they were standing. They were afraid. They were ready to run. And I shined a light up there. And all their faces turned to me. And I watched them walk back up toward their shed and start to lay back down again. I didn't say a word. It was in the dark. Everybody was asleep. We had people staying with us. I didn't want to wake them. I didn't say a word. There've been days in my life, in case they ain't been in yours, that he didn't have to say a word. Just that breeze from yonder's world blowed over my soul. And something in me, I don't think it was me. I don't think I have the ability, but something in me from the Holy Ghost just caused them legs to bend. And I just laid back down. And he said, it'll be okay. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't know where you are, what you're going through. But if you belong to him, it'll be okay. I'm not saying it might not be hard. I'm not saying there won't be a battle to go through. I'm not saying you won't cry at night at times. But it will be okay. Because we belong to him. He belongs to us. Father in heaven, I thank you.